The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch, a little show. We talk about pet care. He's Rossbridge Animal Hospital's owner. He's the man, Dr. Rab Stewart. I am Tony Curry. Of course, you can listen to the show at least 5 days a week right on the TKR app. Get that bad boy live. And you can also find us on our YouTube channel. We actually have the shows up live on our YouTube channel and wherever you get your favorite podcast. Brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. If you're looking for a place to go for some toys, man, holidays are here, brother. It's December. Get after it. Sasquatch Toys and Comics right there. Citation, Lane and Homewood, Seth, and the entire group. Anything from Legos to playing cards to comics. They get over 300,000 comics. Place is crazy, man. If you're like my age too and you go in there, man, it'll take you back to the 70s and 80s. It's pretty cool. Have you been in there yet?
Yes.
It is fantastic, man. It is. Is it crazy how many comics they have in that place?
It will blow your mind.
It really will.
Beyond comprehension.
It really is. All right, my man. What's been going on?
Oh, well, we were we had a little Thanksgiving break. Thanksgiving was super great. I love Thanksgiving. My wife is not a huge Thanksgiving person. She doesn't like food. She doesn't like turkey. She doesn't like cranberry sauce. She doesn't like chicken pie.
My daughter asked me, I said, what do you want for Thanksgiving? Of course, my son wanted a turkey, and I'm like, I'm not making a turkey. So I found one that was pre-made, and I put it in the crock pot, told him I made it. But my daughter found a mac and cheese recipe on TikTok. And she said, would you please make this? And I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. It is unbelievable. I have not pooped since Thanksgiving. It's how cheesy it is. 5 pounds of cheese. It was fantastic.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah, I'm buying it up like an 18-year-old John Deere stuck out in a rainforest, man. It's just like, I have not gone since Thursday, so I'm waiting for the aftershock. But anyway, it was really, really good. But anyway, yes, Thursday. And what were we talking about then?
What were we talking about?
You were talking about Thanksgiving, and then you were going to talk about our dream segment. Oh, I was talking about. Yeah.
Last time we talked, we were going to have a show about our dreams. Did you record your dreams?
I did. I actually have had numerous dreams about an old girlfriend of mine. That I went out with several months ago. We really didn't go out. It was probably about a year ago. And she's smoking hot for 60, and she just didn't want to have anything to do with me.
What a loser.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the last time we dated, it was like 25, almost 30 years ago. And so I was just a totally different cat. And, you know, she was chasing me, and I was, you know, and I really didn't care. I broke up with her, so it's kind of like, and now I'm in a totally different place. It's like two different lives. But I did have a dream, and I went as far as to write it down because I had it the day you and I did our show, and we said we need to write down some of our best dreams and talk about them. And so I did have one that I wrote down. And it was one of those things where I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, whoa, that is crazy. First person I thought of was you, and thought, okay, I've got to write this down. And I did, because I know that I would have forgotten it, because there's parts of the things I wrote down that when I woke up the next morning, I woke up and I thought, I don't remember that. But I've obviously I dreamt about it. So I am in a capsule, some type of like a spaceship capsule. That is about 10 or 15 feet wide. And I'm in there doing a radio program. We're doing some show. I'm linked onto something. I'm not in space, but I'm in this capsule, and I'm doing a show from like LA or something. And I'm broadcasting back to a studio, and there are two women, in the capsule with me. And the one woman is like, one of the, producers of the network that we're on. It was something for the Grammys or something. I don't know. Anyway, she took a liking to me. And so we had had a few, and we're making out while I'm kind of like doing my show, and the capsule had like a windshield on the front of it, and I can remember she was naked on the top of the windshield while I was doing my show, and she was trying to mess me up, and obviously she was doing a really good job at it, and as a prize, we were giving away an opportunity to star in a Tom Cruise movie. on the radio program. And so this guy comes in and he was going to be going we were in LA. I don't know where we're. Anyway, he's going to go be in this movie, and it was going to be a really good shot. I thought, boy, I wish I could be in that movie because, I mean, that'd be great for my radio numbers, my ratings, right? And the woman who's naked on my windshield is going, sure, yeah, but, it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Well, the guy ended up not being able to go. And so she comes to me and she says, hey, listen, since your winner's not going to make it, we're going to allow you to be in this movie with Tom Cruise. And I'm thinking, seriously? And she goes, yeah. She goes, it's great. She goes, it's you and a bunch of monkeys. And I said, okay, fantastic. I said, great. And she said, the only bad thing is you have to ride with the monkeys on this flight. And I said, okay, well, how long's the flight? And the flight was like 3 or 4 hours. I said, okay, that's fine. And she goes, it's going to be a little cold, so you need to make sure you wear a jacket. I write this down because I would never remember this dream. And so I filled in the parts that I knew I missed. And so she says, okay, well, that's fine. She said, so you have to ride with the monkeys. I said, it's fine. So you're going to be down the bottom of the plane because there's not room upstairs and it's going to be kind of cold and you're going to be in a cage. And I said, so I'm going to be in a cage with the monkey. She goes, no, you'll have your own cage. She said, but it's going to be really, really small and you're going to have to pull your knees in so you can fit. And I said, okay. I said, well, that sounds good. I said, but I'm kind of claustrophobic. I said, is that going to mess me up? She goes, oh, you, if you're claustrophobic, there's no way in hell you're going to make this trip. And I remember thinking to myself, well, but I want to be in the movie. She goes, yeah, there's no way. And this is the only way you can go is to be in one of these little crates. And they're like 3 feet by 2 feet. And you're going to have to stuff yourself in there for like 4 hours. And then you're good to go. She said, but, and I remember thinking to myself, man, am I going to let this claustrophobic thing I got screw up my only chance to be a movie star with Tom Cruise and be in this movie with all these monkeys? and I woke up. My dreams are little bits and pieces from things. So I was thinking claustrophobic earlier in the day. I was dreaming about being naked with some woman. Maybe I have a big crack on my windshield that I must have thought about in the back. I saw something about King Kong that had something to do with monkeys. And then I probably saw a story about SpaceX that was right outside my thing. And then it just throws into a cauldron of crap and you shake it up. And then it just, the story goes on. That's how my dreams go now, coming up on 60 next year. I don't know how your dreams go, but normally I had this really strange dream a couple of years ago that I'll never forget, that I was taking a shower in a truck stop. And some guy in the stall next to me kept sneezing, and Ivory soap was coming out of his nose, and I wasn't sure if it was Ivory soap or snot. And then some guy came in and was wanting to shoot somebody. And I remember pulling my towel down really slow because I didn't want to think I was in that shower and he ended up shooting me. I mean, it was like, well, what the hell? So I saw a bit on Ivory soap commercial with the baby duck. And then I must have been at a truck stop somewhere, and I emptied the RV thing. I saw that. So they had all kind of, but yeah, that was really the only good dream. Now, I've had the same kind of dream. I'm having these dreams lately where I'm always on a remote somewhere. I used to, before people don't know, I did radio for 40 years. I used to go to the Grammys and did shows from the Rock and Roll of Fame. I did a lot of stuff on location. I'm always like at someone's house, like a really wealthy person's house. There's lots of swimming pools and waterfalls, and there's music and there's drinking and everyone's dressed to the nines. And I'm there doing my show for some reason. And I'm just kind of like, don't really know why I'm there. And I'm kind of lost. And I've been having that dream, man. It seems like almost every night I have something that's kind of close to that. So the monkey movie thing was like, that was the first night. That was the night you and I did the show. And I woke up, I was like, oh, this is going to be great for the show. And I started writing it down. And so I had it on the piece of paper and I was like, oh yeah. So I wrote it down. I actually put a pad of paper by my bed just to write it down so we could talk about it. So that was my dream. And I know since you brought it up, you must have a killer example of what you're talking about. So go, baby.
I wouldn't say I have killer stuff. I have, for the first week, because unfortunately it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded because of Thanksgiving and stuff. But for the first week, I had something every night.
Really?
But mine are much shorter than yours.
Okay.
Okay. I'm having to, let me see, because they're all notes on my phone. So let me get to
this. This would be a dream like in itself, just because you're talking about the notes. Have you ever done that? If I ever go through my phone, we could do a whole segment on that too, because if you're like me, I go through my notes and I've got bread, dog food, chick, milk, grape juice. So I know that's a list. Then I got train simulator. I have no clue what that is. Then I got your VM. I have one friend of the world. You're very sensitive. I'd have no clue what that is. Then I got this SW1500BN SD40-2. I don't know what that is. I think I'm at the point now where obviously I'm on the forefront of dementia or Alzheimer's, because I think about something and I'll go, ooh, I can't forget that number, and I'll write it down, and then I have no clue what that number is a couple of days later. That's dementia.
See, I'm looking at these and I had forgotten.
Okay, this is good. Oh, this is good. Let's go through it.
Okay. So my first one, I am in an air traffic control booth in an airport.
Okay.
You know, the tall, big square thing at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see all the information, all the screens and the beeps and the boops and everything.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I am the trainer for the air traffic control people. This is like a training course. It's not like, you know. It's not like I'm doing it. I'm the trainer guy.
Yeah.
But people cannot get out of their seats. They're not allowed to leave their seats from the training course. They have to stay there. And if they don't, if they get up from their seats for any reason, I have a hot poker and I'm poking them with a hot poker as they get up.
Yeah.
And I'm also tempting them to try to get them out of their seats so I can burn them with a hot poker. And I am tempting them to leave their seat with donuts. So I'm walking around the room in one hand, I'm walking around the air traffic control tower, and in one hand I have like this big like box of a dozen donuts. And in the other hand, I have a hot poker. And if they get out of their seat to get a donut, I burn them with the poker.
Wow.
But then, as dreams do, they just suddenly turn on their head. And you don't know why or how. But immediately after that, I'm transported to a beach and I have a sunburn. That's it. That's the dream.
Wow. So do you have any idea why you dreamt, or do you have dreams like mine where it's just like something right outside you're like, oh yeah, I was thinking about my sunburn the other day, and that's why you.
Well, so we traveled for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because this was the week before Thanksgiving that I'm doing this dream log.
Yeah.
And we traveled. We took my wife, my in-laws, my kids, and we went to the Caribbean. And this was still during the government shutdown, when there were no air traffic control people.
Huh.
So I'm thinking that I had the dream because I was thinking about, well, are we going to be able to go or not? There's no air traffic control people that are working for the FAA. I don't know if we're going to be able to go. So then that I just take it upon myself to train the people in my dream.
There you go. Now, hot poker and donuts. Where does that come from?
I have no idea. I have no idea where the hot poker and donuts come from.
Were you talking about branding anything, or are you talking about wild animals or cows or sheep? Because normally if you think about it, it'll come to you.
No, I like donuts. Like donuts. And I think the sunburn came because I made it to my destination for Thanksgiving and I got sunburned because we were in the Caribbean.
There you go. There you have it.
But I have more.
Okay.
I have more dreams here. And there's one that I want to, there's a couple that I want to get to.
All right.
So the next night, I had this, I know exactly where this one came from. I had swallowed a full intact, like fishing rig. Okay. It was the pole, the reel, had a lure on the end. everything, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I had swallowed it.
Yeah.
And it was in my stomach. And I had to perform surgery on myself to get it out.
Oh, wow. That's deep.
And so, but this is this, you know, this is what we do like every day. We see dogs, cats that have swallowed things they shouldn't.
Have you ever taken a fishing lure out of a dog?
I have not taken it. I've not taken a fishing lure out of a dog's stomach. I have taken many out of their mouths. Many, many, many.
Well,
the dog eats the fishing lure while they're fishing, you know, and chomps down on it.
And it gets the, that's got to hurt like hell, I guess.
Yeah. It's in their lips and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I had one with you and I were in a dream.
Oh, no, that's
together.
All right.
And this was my most favorite dream out of all of them.
Okay.
Because you and I were on a cruise, which I've never been on a cruise in my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a
cruise. Recording in progress.
I know it is. Okay.
But I don't want to go on a cruise. I wouldn't mind hanging with you. I don't want to go on a cruise though with anyone. Yeah. So anyway, we're on this cruise ship and everything's going fine. But then, and this dream like is really quick, but it's terrifying. So they took us and they put us in like an auditorium. It was like a theater in a cruise ship, which I mean, I imagine that cruise ships have.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. But
yeah. It's a big theater and there's something that's going to happen there. So we get in the auditorium, everyone is in there and then they lock the doors behind us. We can't get out.
Okay. That's not good.
No, it's not good. So then they release these bees or some type of insect that is like a bee, like bee-esque something.
Yeah.
They release them into the auditorium and they go around and they're stinging people.
Jeez, dude.
But you and I are able to escape the room. So we escape the room and we're running around the bowels of this cruise ship, like hiding from workers or whatever they are, you know, people. So we're like, you know, we're ducking in and out of rooms and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then we can't really find our way out wherever we're going. So we decide that we should get back to the auditorium because maybe there's something happening there. Maybe there's someone there. I don't know, whatever. So we get back to the auditorium. And before we left the auditorium, you and I both saw whatever type of insect or whatever it was that was stinging people. We saw it. So then we get back into the auditorium and I don't know how long, you know, I don't know if it was 5 minutes or 5 hours or whatever, but we get back in there and we are able to witness this metamorphosis of the people who were stung or bitten by whatever that was. And I don't know if we just had knowledge of it or if somehow it was explained to us by just observation, but basically once the insect bit or stung the people, it injected something into them where like they became the host of a new bigger bad insect thing.
Jeez, dude.
So these
wow. I mean that sounds like that could be a movie. That sounds like The Thing.
So then we were able to see these people begin to split open and the new creatures come out.
Good. That sounds like The Thing, doesn't it? Have you ever seen The Thing?
The Thing?
Yeah, The
Thing. Carpenter's The Thing is a fantastic movie. It's one of the best.
Yeah. That's the thing where it eats you and takes your Yeah, I'm trying to think because I saw one back in the 80s. Was that the Carpenters?
Yeah, so.
Their heads are shooting up to the ceiling stuff. It was like crazy. It was like, yeah.
Well, yeah, it becomes a host for, I think, one of the people, and then he like burst out and then he terrorized everybody in Antarctica.
Yeah. That was the John Carpenter one, right? That scared the hell out of me.
Yeah. Great, great practical effects in that movie. Like probably the best practical effects of any movie that's ever been made, but that's how the dream ends. Unfortunately, like I don't know if we made it out alive. I don't know if we became the insect. I have no idea. Yeah, man, that was probably the crown jewel. I always have a reoccurring dream that I'm at my old job. And for whatever reason, I don't have a lot of appointments. And so I decided to go home. And then I realized that once I'm home, I didn't tell anyone I left. I just left, and I'm not the boss, and I'm going to get in trouble. So I had that dream again.
I think that's it. That's, yeah. I have that dream where I enrolled at a college, and it started like in August, and it's like December, and I'm just showing up for the first class, and I'm like, I don't know anybody, and it's just uncomfortable. I think it's an insecurity thing. And I'm like, and I realize I've already missed like three classes, and I can't find out where, and I'm just totally lost. Those are weird dreams. I don't know what the deal is. That's pretty strange. All right, very good. We'll keep track of your dreams, man. We'll kind of go through them if you want to during every show. If you want to, that's kind of wild.
Yeah, that one dream was interesting. But the thing is like I wasn't scared during that dream. You know, I wouldn't even have considered it a nightmare. It was more of a, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, 208-0301, 208-0301, Rosbridge Vet. Check out the website. I wanted to read a quick story for you, and I'm going to let you go. It's kind of the holiday, so we're going to be flying. But I heard this story, and I wanted to share it with you. And I don't know if you've heard it before. You know who David Redding is? He's an author.
Now it's off my head.
He tells this story of... having this big black Scottish Shepherd as a boy, as a pet when he was growing up on a farm in the country. He said they lived so far out that if they wanted to go hunting, they had to go towards town and not away from it.
Wow.
He named his dog Teddy, and they became inseparable companions. Teddy would wait on him, come home from him at the school bus stop. Teddy slept at the foot of his bed. Teddy came whenever David whistled a tune during the night. No one could get even within a half mile of the farm without Teddy's permission. The boy and his dog were inseparable. Then World War II came, and David went away to war. He's told his family goodbye, but there was no way to tell his dog, Teddy, that he was going away and he might never come back. David Redding went away to boot camp and then was shipped to overseas for 3 years. Finally, the day came when he could go home again. The last bus stop was 14 miles from the farm, and his parents didn't have a phone, so he simply threw his duffel bag over his shoulder and started walking home. It must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning as he neared the farm. It was pitch dark, but he knew every step of the way. Suddenly, the dog heard someone on the road and began to bark. David said, I whistled only once, and Teddy stopped barking. There was a yelp of recognition, and I knew that big black dog was running towards me in the darkness. Almost immediately, he was there in my arms. He knew me. He recognized me. He loved me. Even after 3 years, he recognized me and loved me. And the story goes around, whenever there is a recognition of love, there is joy. And this goes along with the 10th chapter of John's Gospel of Jesus telling us that he's our good shepherd, that he will always be there for us. And it's like, if you can imagine how joyful your dog would be after 3 years of not seeing you. And anyone that's been like that, you know, I remember going to summer camps. You didn't care about coming home and seeing your mom and dad, man. It was your dog. You know, the first thing you wanted to see was your dog, you know. And I remember getting on my school bus, and we had a driveway that was maybe 100 yards long. And my dog would sit at the top of the driveway by the garage door, and I would get off the bus, and he'd pretend that he didn't see me. He'd be looking off, you know, and I'd see his tail wagging, and he'd be looking off. And then I'd get off the school bus, and I'd walk really slow up the driveway like this, you know, with my hands out. And it would take like probably 6 or 7 minutes, man. I mean, I went really slow until I point where I got right up to his face, and he had his ass hanging in the air, and his butt. Time he was about ready to go crazy, and then of course you jump in my arms. And I remember doing that every day in high school. But the point of the story was that if your dog's willing to do that, imagine what Jesus Christ does whenever you're willing to come back to him in your life, whenever you're willing to come back and continue your relationship with him. He's always there waiting for you. He's always wagging his tail. He's always sitting on the front porch, and he's waiting for you to come back home. So
yeah, when
you
come back
home, that unconditional love is a wonderful thing. So
prodigal son.
It really is, no doubt. So, all right, my man, we're up against it. That was a very interesting show. I will say something, man. People love the show because we talk about whatever we want, and sometimes we do talk a lot of animal stuff. Any interesting animal stories you want to share with me? You got about 2 minutes. Any animal stories you want to wait till next week?
Man, I've been gone a whole week. This was my first day back, and I did a couple surgeries this morning, but nothing exotic, so we'll save it for next time.
All right, cool. We'll catch up next week. Thank you, my brother. I'll talk to you then.
Okay, bud.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.